celebrate Jesus this morning. And you may please be seated. In the presence of the Lord, godliness with contentment, part 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe the Lord is bringing this word in this season and at this time, because there is something he's trying to do in the lives of 1, 2, 3 people. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read very quickly from verse 1, the whole chapter. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Paul wrote this to Timothy, his son in the faith, the pastor of the largest church in the world at the time. These epistles were written to us and for us, directly to the people at that time, but then today to us and then for us, so that Christians can learn how to live as believers. We live in a very corrupt world. It's a very dark world. But there is a way that believers live as believers of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of a corrupt world. There is something called the Christian conduct. That's why we have the epistles, so that we can know how to live. We are not left in the dark. Our God is light, and so he has not left us in the dark. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, this is the message that we have of him, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. David the psalmist, under the old covenant, picked that up in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light. So we are not left in the dark as to how to live as Christians. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, the psalmist said, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. I don't like this sound pretty much. I prefer the sound of the handheld. So if you can adjust it, adjust it. If not, I'll go to the handheld. So we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise, I think it's better now, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. The Bible is telling us that as you continue in life, as you go on with your journey in life, there are certain men, there are certain women, there are certain people from whom you will do yourself a favor by withdrawing yourself. As the Bible encourages us to walk with certain people, he also encourages us to dissociate from certain people. The fact that they were your childhood friends doesn't matter now. There is a place for you in God. Only you will get there. When Abraham took Isaac and was going to sacrifice him on the Mount Moriah, he went with some young men. He got to a point, he said to the young men, you stay here.
the young man, the lad, Isaac, and I will go yonder to go and worship, and then we will come back to you. He was speaking in faith that we will come back. There is a point in destiny. Listen to me, church. If you are going far with God, that you don't go with anybody. There are certain people in your life, they are your lot. Until you drop them, you will not hear from God. It happened to Abraham, Genesis 14. God called Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, and verse 5, Lot went with him. God didn't call Lot, and God didn't tell Abraham to go with Lot. By Genesis 13, Abraham was blessed. Verse 5, Lot also that went with him was blessed. The same thing happening in Abraham's life was happening in Lot's life. And because of that blessing, there was a strife between their headsmen. Then there was a separation by Genesis 14. And God was silent until Abraham called Lot and said, look, if you go left, I will go right. If you go right, I will go left. Please, choose where you want to go. And when he departed from him, the Lord now spoke to Abraham. That should be telling you something. Anyone dragging you to sin? Anyone encouraging you to live a lifestyle that is not godly? You should have enough courage to separate yourself from them. Otherwise, they will not allow you to get there. Paul wrote to Timothy, you are a pastor. There are certain men that have corrupt minds. Don't get engaged in arguments with them. From such, I advise you, my son, withdraw yourself. The year is still very fresh and early. Look through your friends' list. There are certain people, what they are good for is professionally, they contribute to what you are doing. There are certain people, they contribute to your academics. They are adding value. There are certain people that are not adding any value. If there's anything at all, they are a burden to your life. Especially those, not just because they need your help. I'm not asking you to block people because they're always asking for money. Some people are at that point in their lives and you need to help them and bring them up to a level where you tell them, I'm not God. Don't make God out of me. You need to learn to use your faith. I will help you a little bit, but look to God for your needs. I'm not asking you to block such people. I'm asking you to withdraw yourself from people who will drag you back to the world. People that would make you take one step forward in godliness and five steps backward into worldliness. We all have such friends in our lives. Every time they bring up gist, it's about somebody impregnated somebody. It's about, do you know what's happening in Nollywood right now? I mean, look at your life. Are these gists adding value to my destiny? There are some friends that are just time wasters. The moment they come visiting you, you can't read anymore. You can't add it to yourself anymore. It's from one gist to another, from one gist the whole day. Do yourself a favor. Withdraw yourself from such. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not telling you what I have not done. I'm telling you what I have done and what I'm still doing. I'd rather spend that 1 hour alone in the presence of God, in the place of prayer, in the place of the word, and God is talking to me, than to sit with you and you are giving me gist that would rather make me carnal. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is that in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? You see, this message I'm preaching and teaching in the last 3 Sundays is probably one of the least popular messages on the internet. A lot of preachers avoid this area. To let people know that we brought nothing into this world and it is certain. Paul didn't say probably. No, it is certain. We can take nothing out. A lot of our messages, especially in the Pentecostal circles, whether directly or indirectly, are just pushing people towards amassing wealth whether legally or illegally, whether legitimately or illegitimately. And so people are just being pushed every time they come to church. Most churches have become motivational centers, and they motivate your head to go and have results. And when you do everything they've taught you and you don't have results, you wind up in depression. Because it goes to show that God does not like you. Or for some reason, God is not answering your prayer. After all, everybody's having results. People are buying brand new cars. How come you have not bought a car? You are almost 30 now. You are not married. That means you are a failure in life. They will tell you, if you don't build your house, your first house at the age of 25, because I built my first house at 25, and then the pastor becomes a yardstick. No pastor should become a yardstick. Jesus should be the yardstick. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that somebody in your family, maybe even your dad, built his house at the age of 30 does not mean you're going to build yours at the age of 30. The clocks of our lives are not one the same. The terms and conditions around our lives are not the same. Maybe your dad got into business at 23 and was able to make a lot of money. God helped him at 27, 28. He started buying property. Now, you are a medical student, and at 27, you are just wrapping up your housemanship. Where are you going to build a house at the age of... How are you going to build a house at the age of 30? Don't use anybody's life as a yardstick. People will make you feel like a failure if you don't achieve certain things that they achieved at a particular stage in their lives. No, sir. God did not write the script of my life based on your own story. Whether you like it or not. Some people will graduate from university at 21. Some will not graduate until 41. And that does not in any way make them a failure. Because they have also achieved certain things over that period of time that you have not achieved, even though you are a graduate at 21. Everybody is now running the rat race. So at 30, you are not married, you are done for. At 35, what are you doing with your life? People now go ahead, fall into depression. And some commit suicide because they bought a lie that if at a particular age you have not achieved a particular thing, who wrote that story? Who wrote that script? Check it out. More often than not, the society. The society will never determine how I live my life. Society will never determine the kind of schools that I will send my children to. I will send my children to the schools I can afford. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will never, under societal pressure, put my that I can afford because I want to impress the people. Let me let you know this early enough. Nobody is impressed by anything. People have their own problems. One of the disadvantages of the social media is that people come, project a fake life, then you buy into it, and then you go into your room and you start crying. All my mates are married. All my mates are married. Check it out. Not all your mates are married. That statement is a lie. No matter who says it, even if Pastor Fred says all his mates are married, is a lie. As I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to be 45 this year. I have my classmates in secondary school who are not yet married. Male, not female, male. Some of them live abroad. They don't even live in Nigeria. So is it money we're talking about? But can I tell you what? They are not a failure if they are fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. So someone puts you under pressure. I'm 28. I'm a lady at 28. I'm not married. I don't have a relationship. I will marry anybody. Oh, go ahead and do it. You sign up for something, you have ordered for something, you are going to get it. They will deliver the package. Paul warned Timothy, we brought nothing to this world. And it is certain, you will not carry your Lamborghini anywhere. When people die, if they died while eating, the cutlery will first of all fall down from their hand. I heard the story of an elderly woman that died. She had a loaf of bread in her hand. The daughter-in-law was with her. She was the one that told me. She said, how did she know that Mama died? Bread fell from her hand. No. Mama is a very neat person. How can her bread fall? So she picked up the bread and looked at Mama. Mama had opened her palms like this. This was how we all came to this world. This is how we were returned. We came naked. The reason we are going back covered is for decency of burial. We are going back naked. In between birth and death, yes, there are certain things God wants us to achieve. We have a purpose to fulfill. We have a God to serve. We have a nation to build. We have a business to build. We have a brand name to build. We have lives to touch. But we must do it God's way if we are going to find true fulfillment. We must do it the way of the one who wrote the script. You go back to the director. Director tells you, no. That's a wrong turn. Act 1, scene 2, that's a wrong turn. That was not what is in the script. Check your script. A good director will make you as an actor keep to the script, because you were not there when we were writing the script. We only invited you to come and act it. We must go back to the instructor's manual. When a product develops a fault, you go back to the manual to read. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the instructor's manual of our lives. Not your pastor's story. Not anybody's story anywhere. Don't live your life based on someone else's life. Live your life based on the word of God. It is the foundation for unhealthy rivalry when you start living your life comparing yourself to another person. Our stories are not the same. Oh. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing to this world, and it is probable, it is certain, we can carry nothing out. So those who are stealing Nigeria money now, let them keep stealing. They will carry nothing out. When some politicians die, they discover money in the septic tank. Money in the water. Are they not mad? You steal money, you hide it in the septic tank. Wrap it in cellophane. The level of madness in this country. Only God can deliver us. You build a whole house to hide money there. They turn on AC, power generator, 24/7, to be cooling money. People are sweating. Money is enjoying AC. Because they cannot put the money in the bank. Thank God for EFCC exposing them. When you read some stories, you know, they can only happen in Nigeria. What has happened to our fathers and mothers? They have gone mad because they didn't know Jesus. Because they have never been told that they brought nothing to this world. They thought they rode a limousine to this world. Have you seen a baby ride a limousine to the world before? From which womb? Which belly? Is there any Yeshua? Is there any provision in the woman's alimentary canal or the birth canal for a car to be accommodated? One politician, if you go to his house is a gallery. It's a museum of fancy cars, exotic cars. And he shows it on social media. You all know his name. Madman. Yeah, this one is Lamborghini. And sometimes he can start all of them at the same time. You see, it's a rehearsal of madness. It's a rehearsal of madness. They have not been taught, even though some of them were brought up in Christian homes. That's the shameful thing. One woman, a bra alone, can build a university. They use that to hide money. We brought nothing to this world. We can carry nothing out. If we will all live simply and live the way Jesus wants us to live, this world will be a better place. There is enough to go around. People are hungry in Nigeria. Max Lucado wrote a book. I think he titled it The Applause of Heaven. That book changed my life in 2010. We just got married. The book is about giving. About generosity. He said, according to the UN statistics, as of that time, there were 1 billion desperately hungry people in this world. 1 billion desperately poor people. Then another 1.6 desperately hungry people in the world. Not just hungry, desperately hungry. People that will see rice, they won't ask for stew before they consume it. One of my mentors went to Congo Kinshasa to minister one time. He said in that part of the world, they had some issue with war and all that. People were eating grass. Do you know people get so desperate sometimes when there's no water, they drink their own urine? May you never know it. There are certain stories you will never believe until you see. And there are people, there are rich people in the poorest countries of the world. While there are also poor people in the richest countries of the world. Nigeria is one of the richest countries of the world. But do we have poor people in Nigeria? Because the people who are administering our commonwealth, Satan lives in their heart. So what is supposed to come to everybody goes to a few people. And they are not helping the next generation because the next generation of politicians are also vying for position so that they can get there and steal. In some sane countries of the world, when you are caught for corruption, you kill yourself. A Nigerian would rather die in the office. What is happening to us? And we are one nation that probably has the fastest number of churches, growing churches. Churches are spreading like business everywhere. Everybody, almost every university graduate. The one God called, the one that called God. What is happening? Let's come back to the word of God. I beg you, church. I'm talking to a few people this morning, and I'm talking to those who are watching or listening online. Let's come back to God. There is nothing we need that God is not able to supply. God is not short of resources, neither is he short-staffed. Many are not living according to the word of God, and that's the reason we have a lot of chaos in the body of Christ today. That's why you see pastors also are getting involved in scam. Almost every week, you see it on the news, a pastor scammed certain people, a pastor defrauded some people, a pastor raped some people, a pastor used some people for money rituals. A pastor. What are you telling the people? Go and see their previous video. You see them motivating people. Is it about success? Is it about next level, greatness, elevate? All these nice words. But many of them don't even know Christ. They are not living like Christ. A lot of the things we are trying to engineer by our human mind, they are already provided. All for us to walk by faith and believe God. So that faith thing takes time. So let's do the one that will quickly give us result. I have a word for you. For we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, expression house, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep this commandment. What is the commandment? Godliness with contentment. Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them. And I'm charging you this morning that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. God doesn't mind us being rich. God doesn't mind us having things, but God minds things having us. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't be high-minded. Nor trust in uncertain riches, because riches are uncertain. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Does God want us to enjoy things? Talk to me, church. Does God want us to enjoy good things? The Bible says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, serving God does not deplete you. Serving God does not demean you. Serving God does not take away from you. It adds to you. Godliness brings pure blessings to your life. Richly to enjoy. So when people say the closer you are to God, the poorer you will be. No, that's not true. But also, something that is not true is to say that because you have a whole lot of stuff, that means you are really close to God. No, that is also not true. Because gain is not godliness.
Gain is not godliness. Never you mix the two together. You can have gain and not be godly. But you can be godly and have gain. Can you say that with me? You can have gain, but you are not godly. But you can be godly and still have gain. Right. Now, verse 18. That they do good, talking to rich people now, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. This means that people that have resources in the church, rich people, should learn to help others, be a blessing to other people that are struggling financially, be a blessing to the work, add to the work of God in your assembly and in other places where God will open your eyes. One of the things that I want God to do through me, and I've spoken to God about it, is to help me provide accommodation for pastors. Genuine pastors who are struggling financially in their ministry. People that have been called of God, they are working, they are genuine, they have their honest labor, but then they are at a stage in their lives where things are just not working financially. I want God to use me to build them houses, not to rent, to build them houses. It's a vision that I'm running for my personal life. And that I travel to any local area and they're building a church and I ask, how long have they been building this church? They say, we've been building for 15 years. Why have you not roofed it? Because there's no money. Lord, use me to complete such projects. And God is answering my prayer. I have a young man that I mentor, one of my boys in the ministry. And he's back in Abuja now. He used to be here, was here briefly. And he shared with me, Pastor, because he had listened to me for quite a while. He said, I went back to Abuja and I went to my family church where I grew up. They had been contributing for development levy for many, many years. And they've been trying to build that church to raise it, but it's still on the same level. He said, but to the glory of God, I want to finish up that church. The last we spoke, they were already doing POP. One young man, a graduate of the University of Ibadan, through his honest labor. He told me his salary, how much he earns. He's an IT, he's a tech guy. I don't want to mention how much he earns. It's good money. And he has contributed substantially even to this house. So I said, Lord, it's already happening. I want to see it done that no genuine pastor, no genuine man of God is thrown out of his house, his rented apartment, because he could not pay rent. You must have a vision for your life. When God is bringing resources into your hands, it is not for you to consume on your own lust. Number one, God wants you to enjoy yourself, have a good life. But then number two, he wants you to be able to communicate. He said they must be willing to communicate, ready to distribute. There is a family that doesn't know what to eat for lunch today. Look around and let God use you. Buy some congos of rice, congos of beans and gari.
package it, put 5,000 naira so that they can buy kerosene and give it to them. It will go a long way. Does God want you to ride a Lamborghini? If you can afford it, why not? God is not against Lamborghini. But don't ride Lamborghini when everybody around you is suffering and sweating, including your family members. To tell you the truth, you are not even safe. Because the people you refuse to help will gang up against you and they will send people that will come and help them collect money to give it back to them. Wisdom. Wisdom. Be a blessing. Paul said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. They should lay a good foundation against the time to come. There's a time coming. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. I want you to go back home and chew on that scripture. Chew on it. In the previous weeks, I'd shared so many things on that chapter alone. The benefits of the combination. I told us it brings promotion, brings preservation, and then makes provision available. Then last week, I shared with us, how can I live a godly and contented life? How is it possible in this corrupt world to live a godly life and to live it with contentment? How can I be content? Because you see, some Christians, their challenge is contentment. They are just not content. And if you look at our world today, there's so much greed. You do business with people, they're already thinking of how to outsmart you, how to make more money than you, how to run away with the money, you know, things like that. And look at people's lifestyle generally. People are not content. They are not content. That's why women are doing BBL. They want a bigger backside because they are not content with the natural one that God has given them. And many of those surgeries have gone bad. People have died on the operation table. There was a time it was popular in this country as women were dying as a result of trying to have a bigger backside. Some say they want to have breast enlargement. Breast, because somebody told you your breasts are too small. I mean, you can imagine God made you. Are you telling God that he made a mistake the way he created you? And for your information, you got your genes from your parents. And they got it from God. Some of those surgeries have gone bad. People tried to straighten their nose. People tried to bleach. They tone their skin. They are dark skin. They don't like dark skin. They want it to be yellow. Yellow papa. At the end of their lives, they smell. Male and female. Not only female, men also bleaching. And when you see their childhood pictures, the baba was dark. But how come? Daddy, you're 65, you're yellow. A sharp contrast from who they were when they were younger and who they are right now. Sit down close to them in a public vehicle or in a public space. When they sweat, you know what I'm talking about. The smell is horrible. Why? Lack of contentment. They are just not satisfied with who they are and with what God has blessed them with. How can I live a godly and contented life? Number one, I said to us, maybe last week, be grateful for what you have. I gave us scriptures, 1 Timothy 6:8. He said, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. When you have food to eat, you have clothes to wear, be content. That does not mean that you don't aim higher. It doesn't mean you don't set goals. I want to achieve this by so-so time. I'm trusting God that by so-so age, I would have done this. I would have done that. I want to establish a business. God is not averse to all of that. God is interested in you making progress. But God is saying, I don't want you to be discontented. And for those of you thinking of any line of business to go into, this is a scripture for you. Having food and raiment. If the Bible emphasizes food and raiment, then food and raiment must be important. When you get into the business of what people eat and what they wear, you will never go bankrupt. People eat every day in spite of the economy. People are working on construction sites. They eat every day. Some people supply them fufu and stew. Some supply them garri and granite and pure water. That's business every day. And there are many construction sites in our country. If you don't have money yet to establish a restaurant, a classy restaurant, start somewhere. Supply somebody. There are bankers around you who don't have time to make their soup. Make soup for them and sell. Put it online. One pot of ogbono. Put the amount there. When these things were not popular, I'd been shouting it a long time. I didn't know a time would come like this in Ibadan that people would be buying pots of soup. It used to be in Lagos. Lekki. It's happening now. Having food and raiment. And no matter how terrible the economy may be, the lion will not eat grass. So food is important. What made the prodigal son to go back home? Food. E bilong pamonomonoku. Omoji, along montantita to kwe. When hunger set in, the guy said, his head reset. Hunger na your mate. I saw one very funny clip. One motivational speaker was motivating people. He was motivating some two guys. He said, this business, all you need to do is just drop 2K. I'm telling you, within 3 months, you will sack your boss. After he had motivated, one of them just said, madam, please give this guy gala. Give him gala and a drink. The guy took the gala drink. He said, bros, how you take no way to the doobie? How you take no? He said, hunger now your mate? Hunger is not anybody's mate. It will make your head reset. When you get hungry to a point, you will think. You know why many are not thinking? Because you're overfed babies. You have been overfed, over pampered by your parents. You can't really sit down to think. If you are hungry 24 hours, you will think, what business can I do? How can I make 100 naira from all these girls in Idia Hall? And I am telling you, an idea will drop. I'm telling you, ideas flow every day. An idea will drop. Some of them... How do some people start a laundry business? Back in the day, it was not anything to be proud of, you know, to be delighted in. Alagba for. It's no longer Alagba for. It's laundry business. It's laundry business. Laundry business. Food and raiment. The second scripture I gave you was Ephesians 5:20 that says to be thankful in everything. In all things, to give thanks to God. Number 2 point I gave you, how can I live a godly and contented life? Because I want to finish it up today. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Godliness will not drop on you. I want to live like God. Everybody wants to live like Jesus. I want people to meet me and meet Jesus. But it won't drop on your laps. Paul said to Timothy, exercise yourself unto godliness. First, Timothy 4:7. You find that there. Exercise yourself unto godliness. What does it mean? Be disciplined. What does it mean? Train yourself. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Some translation says, train yourself. Train yourself. How can I be disciplined? For example, you choose to fast. And then somebody brings you free jollof rice at 12 noon. And you know, normally as an adult, you want to fast till 6 p.m. And then you want to pray before you break your fast. But this is 12 noon. And this is jollof rice and fried rice and chicken by the side, plantain on the other side. This person is wicked. And there's a little bit of coleslaw. And even moi moi with 7 lives. Lord, what do I do? Lorobosti alabahaya. Father, this doesn't come every day. Oh, my God. And there's a cup of ice cream. Lord, normally, Lord, you know me. I would wait till 6 p.m. before I eat. But, Lord, this person put ice cream. If I don't take it now, the ice cream will melt. And then you go ahead and eat. You know God will not kill you. He's a good father. But he looks at you and says, you still lack discipline. So you still remain at the level you are. And heaven is waiting and watching till you grow up. Because the heir of the promise, as long as he remains a child, will still be under masters. Nobody will give you your inheritance because you're still a child. It's when you grow up that God can commit certain things in your hands. And we need to grow up. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that some of you cannot fast. You cannot engage in it. It's a 6 to 6 fast. I'm not talking about Esther's fast now, which I will be introducing before the end of the year. Can I have an amen? It's part of training. You are training yourself unto godliness. Hey, I can tell you, I'm married, I have children. You are at a level in your life now. Another level is coming. By the time you get married and you start having children, you will no longer have just your own concerns. You will start having concerns over your children too. One day, my daughter woke up. My wife screamed. She went to her room and I heard the scream, so I ran to the room. What happened? My daughter did not look like the girl that went to bed the previous night. I stand before God, I lie not. Her entire face was swollen, swollen so bad, she could hardly open her eyes. Her whole body. What is this? By the time I called the doctor friend, we did a video call and all that. They were querying food poisoning. What did she eat? My wife was crying. The concerns of parents. What came in the midnight? We all ate the same food. We went to the brother to check. The guy's fine. I'm fine. Mom is fine. What could be wrong? It may have a medical explanation, but I tell you, a thief came to my house to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I cannot afford to be a father who sleeps all night and snoring. Hello, Daddy, oh, let him walk out as a morning devotion. No. I have a family to protect. I have a family to care for. I have souls to take care of and to direct and to lead. I am the leader of my house under God, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Women, please don't marry a stupid man. Don't marry a man that cannot pray. Because the day will come when the head of the house will need to pray. And I dare you guys, don't marry a woman that cannot pray. I am telling you, the days of trouble come. You can't wish them away. The Bible says it. God said in Psalm 91 verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. He didn't say I will prevent him from getting into. He said I will be with him in trouble. Meaning he will get into trouble sometimes, but then my presence is guaranteed in the trouble. And when you get into trouble, God gets into trouble. And when God gets into trouble, trouble itself gets into trouble. Did you hear what I said? Exercise yourself unto godliness. Say no to certain things. It's not every offer you say yes. Joseph was given an offer. It was a good offer, sir. All you need to do, service me. That's all. You have the best in this house. He had no girlfriend, no opportunity to even have one. He was a slave in the house, so no girlfriend was permitted to come. And he was a young man, active, energetic, agile, handsome. The Bible describes him. He was a good guy to look at. And if the Bible says somebody is good to look at, that guy must really be handsome. For the Bible to have taken time, for the Holy Spirit to have taken time to describe, just like David, Joseph was a handsome guy. That was his sugar mommy, man. Service her. One, you will enjoy the thing. Two, you'll be paid. Good offer. We all talk about this, the favor of God on the life of Joseph. Nobody talks about the discipline of Joseph. He was a disciplined guy. Madam, everything in this house is under my care, but not you, because you are my master's wife. How then can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? Godliness. He factored God in. If I do it, nobody will see us, but God will. And that engineered his promotion. Without natural education, became the prime minister in a country where education came from. Egypt. God broke all protocol, nonsensical protocol for him. God is still doing it today. Are you getting what I'm saying? Godliness promotes. Train yourself. Say no to certain things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, having ministered to others, I myself, I don't want to be a castaway, so I put my body under. I beat it under. There will be opportunities for free sex. To be honest, whether you are male or female, it will come to you. You must learn to walk away. Walk away. Get up. Ask yourself, how did I get here? That somebody is offering me. You can't offer. You no word of God to offer me. No word of prayer. Free sex. See, no, it doesn't matter. You know, this is Valentine now, Friday. Some people will have sex for the first time in their lives. Train yourself. Exercise yourself. Walk away. And these days that people do all kinds of things with technology, learn to say no. A married man is asking you to come somewhere, he's in a hotel somewhere, he just wants to have a meeting with you. Sir, whatever meeting we can't have in church, that we cannot have in your office, at work, or at least in a public space, in the hotel room, no, sir. Oh, what do you mean? No, sir. Let me tell you something. Such a man will respect you for life. He might not like you again, no. He might not want to see your face, but he will respect you for life. And can I tell you what God does? Sometimes he will use such a person to promote you. A meeting will happen somewhere behind you, and they will say, who can we trust in this organization? Who is the lady that we can trust? Who is the lady to lead the delegation to the presidency? We need a lady to head this delegation. All those babes. Sir, there's a lady in admin, no? That one. There's nothing you do. You can't tempt her with money, sir. Let her be the one to lead. We are sure that she will, as she goes, she will come back intact. This person does not like you, but this person is forced by God to recommend you. If you live a cheap life, you will also still meet it in future, because you'll be marrying the second cousin of the nephew of the sister of the neighbor of somebody that knows you, who has done stuff with you. And they will go and call the guy and say, is that your wife? Think twice, oh. Where did you meet her? We met online. Ah, online. Well, let it end online, oh. That one you cannot marry. Say, what do you mean? I love her. Ah, I say you cannot love her. Ah, we have a decent babe for you. Be careful. Be careful. And young men, please, these are the days that men have been recruited into gigoloism. I'm told that even here in Ibadan, in our palms mall there, some guys hang, they just hang around looking for women who need service. So your profession is to be sleeping with women. When you bring children to this world, which job are you going to tell them you are doing? When I got admission to GSS1, they gave us a form to fill. Father's profession, mother's profession. What shall I feel if my father were a gigolo? And let me tell you, you may be enjoying it now. A day is coming, you will not enjoy it anymore. A time is coming, your body will resist it. Godliness. Godliness. You may look like the most stupid person in the world for being godly. Please, look stupid. Look right in the sight of God. Look stupid to men. You are too slow. Oh, wake up. Thank you. Number three, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 to 16. Galatians 5:24 to 25. I gave us those last week. Today, I want to give you 2 points, and that's where we close, which is going to be number four. Still talking about how can I live a godly and contented life. Never underestimate the influence of godly friends. Never underestimate the influence of godly friends. That's point number four. Never underestimate the influence of godly friends. I wish we could read this, but there's no time, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 12 from verse 3 to 19. Write it down. You can read when you get home. 1 Kings chapter 12 from verse 3 to 19. 1 Kings 12, 3 to 19 is the story of a man called Rehoboam. Rehoboam was one of the sons of Solomon. He was the one that actually took over to be king after him. And another man called Jeroboam, who had run away from Solomon, came back to town with other people in the town. And they came to Rehoboam to say, look, your father dealt with us very harshly. Can you please reduce the burden that your father placed on us? We beg you. You are our new leader, our new president, our new king. Can you please reduce this hardship in the land? He said, okay, you know what? Give me 3 days. You go, come back in 3 days' time. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So as they left, he now invited old men. There were certain old men that stood before his father. His father, Solomon, was the wisest king in the world at the time. And so, by virtue of his wisdom, the old men that stood before him were also wise. Do you know that wisdom has a way of rubbing off? In Proverbs 13, verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Do you know that he may not be a wise person? But because you surround yourself with wise people, you are going to be wise. That's why I choose my friends. The people that speak to me. The people that advise me. In the B part of that scripture, it says, but the companion of fools be destroyed. Do you know that a companion of fools may be a wise person? But because he has surrounded himself with fools, he is going to be destroyed. Because they keep telling him, this is what to do, this is what to do. So, the old man said to him, look, Rehoboam, this is what you need to do. Come down to the level of the people. Serve them. Tell your neighbor, say, serve them. A servant leader. You see, servant leadership is the best. Jesus said it. Anyone that's going to be the greatest among you, let him be the servant. Come down from your high horse. Serve the people. And speak good words to them. When people see this, they will be your servants forever. He said, thank you very much. So they left. Then he now sent for his own mates that they grew up together. In the hood, all of them with their sagging jeans and big boots. Hey, what's up? Yo, yo. Hey, your highness, your royal highness. Man, how you doing, man? Yeah, yeah. Come on. And then they will hug each other. Yeah. So, guys, bring out the booze. Then there was, I'm just adding those ones. I figured they were smoking marijuana in the palace. Yeah. So, guys, these people came to me and they said that I should reduce my father's burden. What do you guys think I should do? Now, what do you think we should do? That was the language you used. What do you think we should do? They say, yeah, this is our government. We are the one in power. Now, you know what? Tell them. My father's heavy burden can't be compared to what I'm going to put on you. My father dealt with you with whips. He beat you with whips. I'm going to sting you with scorpions. My little finger will be heavier than my father's loins. In other words, I'm going to add to your problems. And guess what? The foolish guy. That was what he did. So after 3 days, the people came back. And he said to them, hey! You guys were complaining. You were paying too much tax. You were doing so and so under my father. The burden was heavy. Now, I'm going to add to your burden. I'm going to add to your problems. You're going to find it hard to pay your children's school fees. Right there in his presence, the people said, what portion do we have in David? Because this was from the lineage of David. And they said, to your tent, O Israel! And all the people went back to their tent. That day, rebellion started. Till this day, they rebel against the house of David because of one stupid grandson who surrounded himself with stupid people. Stupidity is contagious. Your friends always love to do what God does not like. You will be doing it also. If your friends choose to always do what God likes, and those are your friends, you'll be doing it also. People say, no, I'm old enough, I'm of age. Nobody can make me do what I don't want to do. It's a lie. Directly or indirectly, your friends influence you. There are some two friends in this church that you all know, brothers, Ibex and Paul. You know why I like them pretty much? They influence each other well. I heard one of them say to me one day, Pastor, if I said the statement that that guy said, I think it was Paul that was telling me, Ibex will slap me. And if he said it, I will slap him. Those are good friends. We all need friends in our lives who will look you in the eye and say, come on, don't be stupid. What did he just say? You would You will stop tithing? Or you go and disrespect your mother? Are you okay? We need such friends. When you are surrounded by people who are just psychophants, you are the guy now. Anything where you do. I walked away. I walked out on my mom. She was just telling me nonsense. You walked out. Babe. Me say, I don't do that before now. You are in the wrong place. But you say the same thing. I walked out on my mom. You know, she was just telling me trash. Say, guy, wait till you talk. My mom now, she was just telling me trash. And the next thing is, a slap lands on your face from your friend. Go, sir! In your life, never say that again. Your mom, if she had aborted you, uncle, she gave you an opportunity to come to this world. Please, in fact, for the next 3 days, don't come to my house. I don't talk to my mom like that. I would never disrespect my mother. Your mom? Then he goes ahead on your behalf to prostrate, to apologize to your mom. That's a friend. That's a friend. Show me your friend, and I can tell you who you are. Are you with me, church? Never underestimate the influence of godly friends. When I started to be serious in my walk with God, one of the things that happened to me was that I trimmed down my friends list. I'm a friendly person, naturally, very friendly, right from my childhood. I'm very popular all over the place. I used to play football a lot, so football even made me popular. So I had all kinds of people you call friends. Not everybody is a friend. They're acquaintances, but I had all of them. Like when you throw a net in a river, it will catch fish, stick, wood, earthworm, everything. All kinds of things. My grandmother would come from Ondo State back in the day when she was still alive and say, this boy, everybody's always coming. When I go out, my friends will come. People will come. Afa, Ekasoma, Akinko, Shakimale. Very popular. Very popular. My grandmother would do like this. How many friends do you have? They're all my friends now. Everybody's my friend. But now I know better. When I began to be serious with God, I will not follow people. You see, when internet came to Nigeria, I happened to be in my teenage years. My set was one of the first set of people that used internet in sending email. In the whole of Mokola, there was a house on Gbadebo Street. A particular big bros was called Braydam. Braydam was his name. He had a video club. You know what video club is? A video club back in the day was where you would go and rent a VHF, video cassette, to play movies. So we used to go there to rent. Now, my family didn't have a video player, so I didn't go there to rent. But when internet came, because he had brothers abroad, they sent him a computer, a desktop, only one, in his living room. So he started a cyber cafe in his living room. To send an email, you will come, if there were 10 of us, we'll line up, we'll sit down. You will write your email out. You write the address the email is going to. You give it to him. He will be the one to type. Dear sir, papa, papa, type the mail. He would send it through his inbox. You will come back 3 days later. If you have a reply, he will click it, he will print it and give it to you. We didn't have our own personal email addresses. We didn't have computers. There were no smartphones, so you could not browse on your smartphone. The best phone we had then was Nokia 3310, then later 3410. Pananam, 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 pow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hello, lady, know the story, you know. I was going to tell you something. Oh, Lord. Friends. I was talking about the company you keep. So, that story is very long. Sorry, let me not go there. I'm looking at time. Let me leave that story for another day. But I can tell you, let me wrap it up this way. Through that internet, we got exposed to how you could have friends abroad. Female friends, older women that needed a husband. And so you could just send them your picture and then they will like you, you like them. We were very honest though. We were already on that path when I met the Lord. So me, I put my gear in reverse. That was when Yahoo started. Yahoo is from the word Yahoo, which is the normal Yahoo mail. But there was a Yahoo messenger. It was that messenger, you call it app now. It wasn't an app then. It was that messenger we used to chat with people. They would chat back and forth. So the people that started Yahoo, they were my mates. I knew the big boys. There was a place in Bodija. Then, if you're going to Ofadeyi, you turn left, and you're going to Alabiamo, All Souls, what's that church called? All Souls, right? On your right, where there is Sluggers now, where you have Sluggers Club, there was a building there then, and there was a cyber cafe called Voltron. That was where we used to go and browse. When browsing now became popular, we left Mokola and then we go and browse there. And then people were chatting women and they would send them money, $100. Ah, well, I never did all of that. I found the Lord. I found Christ. Some of the people that did it then, they are dead now. I mean, D-E-A-D, dead. Those who are still alive, they are now telling stories. Because back in the day, they sent them BMW. These women sent them BMW 5 Series. Omo. Keke, I could not afford. And this happened to be the big boys in town. They were painting the town red. Some of those white ladies even came to Nigeria. And we were drinking Gary. And I was asking myself, this godliness, is it profitable? Because some of those boys were boys attending to us in Cyber Cafe. They didn't have half the brain that we had. They didn't have it. They couldn't even construct good English. That was how Yahoo started. Using Yahoo Messenger to chat. That's all. But today is another story. And there's no Yahoo anymore. It is now ritual killing. You kill people to make money. I thank God I found Christ early. Some of them that are alive today, the cars they were supposed to drive in the future, they already drove in the past. Now they are trekking. We who were trekking then, to the glory of God, we have means of mobility now. With peace of mind. With peace of mind. With peace of mind. I don't go to bed opening my eye. I close one, open one, because you don't know when they are bringing guns. No. I sleep like a baby. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you getting what I'm saying? Proverbs 13:20. Write it down as part of your scriptures. I'm going to the last point now. Because you are a reflection of the company that you keep. Learn from Rehoboam. Paul, the apostle, wanted his son in the faith to withdraw from certain people whom he described as men of corrupt minds. Corrupt thinking, write this down if you are writing. Corrupt thinking contaminates your faith and aborts your result. Corrupt thinking contaminates your faith and aborts your result. Write these scriptures down. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 6, 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to the end. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to the end. I wish we could read them, but I'm wrapping up, so there's no time to read them. Have you learned something today? Let's go to the last point, which is number 5. And the Lord gave me this one very early this morning. Engage in honest labor and trust God for his blessing. How can I walk in godliness with contentment? By engaging in honest labor. Engage in honest labor and trust God for his blessing. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he addeth no sorrows to it. Honest labor, honest labor. There is dignity in labor. Honest labor. If you're a writer, write. If that is your passion, keep writing. If you're a graphic artist, do your graphics. Do it well and keep improving. You are an accountant, keep doing your accounting work. You are still a student, face your studies. And if you have business ideas, operationalize them in as much as they don't infiltrate into your studies. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is called honest labor. Honest labor. There are people who work in construction sites. We are building my office complex and this extension for Junior Church behind us now. People are working there every day. Young people. It is not a disease. If you are doing nothing to join them and make your money every day. Some people say, look, this brother in our church, carrying block on his head. It is called honest labor. And there is dignity in labor. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't say because I'm a pastor, I don't engage. I engage in businesses. I still anchor events. A young man went to another young man, he's a pastor, said, How would you feel if you discover that your pastor is my MC when I'm getting married? The guy is a pastor, he's my friend. And the guy said, what's there? is he stealing? Or is he begging money? There are pastors who are musicians, some of them gospel artists, and they are making money from streaming platforms. Me, I don't sing. I don't release album. There's no money from streaming platforms. But you invite me to anchor an event, I will collect money in the name of Jesus. It is my honest labor. I do travels business. I do that by the side. There are a few other things. Now we do documentary. We just delivered one. Paul Richie and I, he did my editing for me. Fantastic job to a society in Canada. And more openings are coming because I will not wait to ask the ushers after service. Elolo wale lo ni elolo akpa. How much is tithe and offering? No. No, I don't feed from that. Honest labor. Engage. Engage. What are you doing? I'm not doing any work. I'm just praying. Prayer will not produce breakfast. What prayer will produce is a direction. Prayer will give you an instruction. Prayer will produce an idea. You operationalize it, then money comes. One of our sisters here, she says she cleans up. If you have, I saw her ad on our WhatsApp status, that if you have a wig, you know, you want to fix it, you want to clean it up, you want to make it nice, that's a business. And only God knows how many women are wearing wigs in our generation. Many, many women. It's not a sin to wear a wig, don't get me wrong. I'm saying that's a good business idea. Like people dry clean their clothes and they take money to the dry cleaner. Somebody said, come and dry clean your wig. Good idea. Brilliant idea. Someday, somebody will recommend that to the wife of the governor of the state. Because they all wear wigs. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm sure she doesn't dry clean alone. She also sells. Because she knows where to get the human hair and all of those things. Ideas. Ideas. That's what God will bless. But you just say, no, I'm not working. The Holy Ghost said to me not to walk. Eh? Ebiakpa. That's why some pastors bring shame to the name of God. See, you're not doing any work, and money's not coming in. So you have to wait for tithe and offering. So if people don't give, you preach messages that will compel them to give. Give, otherwise, fire will come down. And then out of intimidation, no. Sir, what are you doing? I'm a full-timer. So Monday morning, brakata, yele, ba, 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 ba. You are reporting yourself to God. You can be full-time. Ministry can grow to a point where you cannot add any other thing to ministry work. I know that. You can't do any other business, but ministry will grow to that level. Not only 15 people, and then you're not doing anything. They are the founders, and they are the beggars in their own churches. Please, I want to pay my children's school fees. It does not bring dignity and glory to the name of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Honest labor. And trust God to put his blessing on it. I give you this scripture, those of you that have something you are doing. Psalm 90 verse 17. I'm giving you for free. Say, let the beauty. Psalm 90 verse 17. Give it to me. Give it to me in the Amplified Classic. And let the beauty and the favor and the delightfulness and let the beauty and delightfulness and favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Confirm and establish the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands, confirm and establish it. May this be your portion. Yeah. Every person in this church that has an honest labor, may beauty of the Lord come upon that labor. Yeah. May the favor of God come upon that labor. May the delightfulness of God come upon what you do. May you be truly blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. God wants us to do something. By so doing, you are giving God something to bless. If you do nothing, God blesses nothing. When God blesses nothing, nothing multiplies. Because whatever God blesses, multiplies. Are you getting what I'm saying? And who says there's only one thing for you to do? Who says only one thing? You are too brilliant to even do one thing. Those of you that are lawyers, those of you that are medical students, start writing. Some of you need to write books. Especially these days that you don't need to publish hard paper. Publish on Amazon, on Kindle, all those platforms are there where people pay money. I learned somebody's earning $40,000 per month on writing. I say, Lord, I want that to happen in my church. Oh. Honest labor. Honest labor. There is no dignity in begging. Psalm 37 verse 25, he says, I was young, now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Ah! May you never beg bread. I say, may you never beg bread. There's no dignity in begging. There's no dignity in begging. Some people hated me some years ago in this ministry because I used to say, and I'm still saying it, I will never beg, I will never borrow, I will believe God. They hated me for saying it. How can you say you'll never beg, you'll never borrow? Then I had a crisis in my business in 2022, 2023, and they were very happy. Let's see now whether we beg or we will not beg. Even when I begged, when I came to their level and tried to please them, it didn't work for me. I tried to borrow. My wife is a witness. It didn't work for me. I told somebody, can I get a loan of 20 million from you? I'll pay back in 6 months. He didn't pick my call again. I said, see now, my confession. I won't beg, I won't borrow. So when I tried it, it didn't work. I came back. I left all of them. I came back alone with God to my believing zone, my faith zone, and my God turned it around. I arrested the scammer. So no need for loan. God is real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't joke with God. God will never joke with you. Life does not assure that you won't get into trouble. But God assures that when you are in trouble, I will be with you. The moment I arrested this scammer like this, no need for a loan, no need for anything. The people that I talked to who were supposed to be my friends, who left me in adversity, they are online now watching my messages. They don't have the boldness again to come and talk to me directly. They are now viewing and liking. Some of them put a comment. And I don't respond. You are fair weather friends. But I thank God for covenant friends. Those who came, who stood by me and said, look, we shall pray. Man of God, I don't have money to give you, but we shall pray. And we prayed. And I thank God for the leaders of the church. Those of you that are my leaders here, who stood by me and prayed. And are still praying. Some even follow me to court. God is real. There's no way I can catch that bastard over there that has a shrine called church. There's no way I can catch him in the natural. He lives in the UK. He's a British citizen. They tried to arrest him in the UK. He escaped. How do you now arrest him in Nigeria? God brought him. He put a hook in his throat and brought him to Nigeria. I caught him like a chicken. Last week, he turned 54. I put on my WhatsApp status. This day, 54 years ago, a scammer was born in the UK to parents of Nigerian descent. Ah! His foot soldiers saw it. He pinned them. I said, yes, we're in court. I didn't put his name. But the description perfectly fits him. He now put the picture of his lawyer there. He posted the picture on his... I went to his status. I copied his status. And he wrote, a pastor. His lawyer is a Muslim. He's a Muslim. I won't give you more description. He's a Muslim. He said, he was writing about his lawyer. He said, your trust in God dusts mine. Did you hear that? He is a reverend. He's a general overseer of a church. He founded a church. He now said the trust of his lawyer, who is a Muslim. I don't want to give you further description. Who is a Muslim? That guy's trust in God dusts his own trust. That is, he does not trust God like his lawyer trusts God. A guy that is into all sorts. That's why you need to be careful where you call church, where you carry your head to. Come here every Thursday for Bible study. We are here every Monday for prayer, 3 to 5. Those are the engine rooms where we are getting results. We come here and break a sweat in the place of prayer, 3 to 5 every Monday. Bible study, we're here. Last Thursday of every month, we're here for encounter night. Every Friday, I'm there. 5:30 to 7:30. Breaking a sweat in the place of prayer. Praying like Jesus. Hebrews 5:7. with strong crying and tears. You think everybody you see around is ordinary? Many men are wicked. They are sold out to wickedness. They shed human blood and they call themselves reverend. Human blood to stay relevant in life. Because they want to be like some G.O. Everybody wants to be like Bishop Oyedepo. Do you know his days of little beginning? Do you know the days when Bishop bought milk, Cerelac milk for his newborn baby? And that was what the whole family was feeding on. Daddy, mommy, and the newborn. Because there was no extra money to buy food for the family. When they were going to name Pastor Isaac, he said there was no money. The whole ministry had 10 naira. And his associate said to him, let's take out of the ministry money to name the child. He said, no, ministry money is ministry money. This is my child. It is mouth they use to name a baby. All these scammers, they don't like that story. They have never suffered like that. But they want to ride. What's the car they gave Bishop now? Rolls Royce. And they will get that Rolls Royce at all costs. Some of them are into money laundering. Let's just not mention their names. They're very popular. Big pastors online. The only thing you see is Gucci, Versace, Gucci, Versace, Gucci, Versace. No anointing, nobody, no salvation in their church. No godliness in their messages. Be careful, though. Be careful, though. In the name of looking for a church where they will network you, where you know you'll be with versatile minds, young guys, upwardly mobile. If they drag you into secret court, is your own, no, I will not follow you. And if they bring you for deliverance, if I have time, oh. I told you a young man, they brought him for deliverance here. He had gone into Yahoo. And the Yahoo had affected his brain. So they brought him. He just entered my office anyhow. He just opened the door. Ah! I said, kill him. What's your problem? Buy a plywood nikini now. He was wearing cardigan in the afternoon. With his elder brother. He was the pastor, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, you better be sorry. What's the meaning of that? You didn't even knock. What's the problem? Wow. When you were collecting money, I didn't collect tithe, too. And I will never collect tithe from Yahoo. So let's enter church to pray. Don't break all the things in my office. So we came here. And as we sat down, of course I prayed with him out of the compassion of Jesus. And then when his head became cool, I said, what's the problem? You know what he said? He said, Pastor, as I was entering the church like this, I saw your car outside. He said, that's my dream car, your GLK. Yeah. See the problem? Even in deliverance, your mind is still on GLK. I told the brother, boy, Yakpada, see Yahoo. Say, one time I made 23 million. 23 million. I said 23 million. And your mom is in the ghetto. 23 million. What boy, Burukui? What did you do? How did you spend the money? He said, Pastor, to be honest, Pastor, I cannot lie to you. Big, big things. He said, those girls were big, big things in Lekki. I said, look at you now. They have reduced you to a crumb of bread. You know what runs them mad? That soap they normally used to have their bath. The soap will be breathing, 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 breathing. Human blood. Let me give you a scripture the Lord gave me. And I've shared with many of them. Somebody was even talking some time ago. Pastor has driven all the Yahoo boys away from church because of the way he normally hammers on them. I said, okay, we should make it a den of thieves. Abby? Because I want the whole place filled up, so we should make it a den of thieves. Jeremiah 17:11. And I will close. Let's read together, everybody. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches and not by right. What will happen to him? He shall leave them. He will leave the riches, all the cars, the clothes, the babes, in the midst of his days. And at his end, he shall be a fool. That's the word. Are you with me? People who are hasty to be rich will not be innocent. Proverbs 28:20. I'm wrapping up now, and I want you to get this point. Be focused, be determined, be ambitious, but don't be hasty to be rich, because you will not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Ma konju ola. Ema konju ola. Enyomoyi. Don't be hasty to be rich, because you won't be innocent. Let me tell you a secret. Don't chase money. I'm teaching this to my children as young as they are. Don't chase money. Stop it. Start adding value to yourself. Money chases value. Money chases value. Once people find value in you, they will contact you. Then you build them and they pay. Oh, I need someone that can develop a website. Oh, yes, I can do that. That's value. That's value. You have value. I will pay for the service. You will render it. Money chases value. Don't chase money. Offer value. I have some thoughts along the line of financial prosperity that I will teach very soon. The Holy Ghost gave them to me this morning, but not today. Anything that will last will require time to build. Whether it's a brand, a business empire, goodwill among your clients, an effective ministry, a family known for integrity, a prosperous nation, it takes time to build. Therefore, patience is a virtue that must be imbibed by people who want to build. You have your faith in one hand, you have your patience in the other hand. You can never rush God to give you anything. He won't give you because it is need time. He only responds to due season. So, he will give you because it is due season. Isaiah 60:22, in the New Living Translation, he said, a little one shall become a strong nation, a small one, a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. There's always a right time. Psalm 1, verse 3, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers that brings forth its fruit in its season. In its season, its leaves also shall not wither. Everybody has their season. Are you getting what I'm saying? Galatians 6:9 says to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Is that right? Is that correct? And then 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and let him exalt you in due time. Someone say due time. If godliness with contentment is great gain, write this down, then worldliness with covetousness is great pain. If godliness with contentment is great gain, then worldliness with covetousness is great pain. Write the scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. Those who are hasty to be rich will fall into diverse kinds of hurtful lusts, the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:11, write it down. Proverbs 15:16-27. Let's read it and then we'll read the last scripture. Proverbs 15:16. Proverbs 15:16. Please. Let's read everybody. One, two, go. Better is little. I can't hear you, church. One, two, go. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Dear, with the fear of God is better than much with trouble. Verse 27. Read Proverbs every day to make you wise. He that is greedy of gain, let's rewind to go. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, cause pain. But he that hated gifts shall live. The gift there is talking about bribes. He that hates bribes shall live. But he that is greedy of gain, what does he do? Will trouble his own house. He will cause pain. May you not cause pain to your parents. Amen. May you not cause pain to your children. Amen. Your unborn children. Amen. You see that scammer? He has caused pain to himself. He has caused pain to his father in the Lord. He has caused pain to all his ministry associates. He has caused pain to his wife and children. His son told him, his son is a footballer in the UK. He said, Daddy, you are a disgrace. Cause pain. I said, "Inye o komi o, it will pay my money. After you have paid my money, you can go to Jericho. Your family is scattered, none of my business. Pay my money." It has caused pain to everybody. It caused me pain. It caused pain to my clients. He that is greedy of gain, we paid him money, he ran away. Using the money to go to nightclub. Reverend, nightclub. Any reverend you catch in a nightclub is not a reverend. It's a devrent. Devil. Ren. Luke 12:15. We close with the words of King Jesus. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been instructed today? You see, this is more of a teaching. I want it to sink. Please, when you get home, take it again. It will help you. It will help to curb some excesses. All of us have the tendency to go off the tangent and be conscious of greed and gain. But the word of God helps to keep us in check. What did the Lord Jesus say? The master, the head of the church. One man told him, "Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Then Jesus responded, said unto them, "Take heed." Let's read. 1, 2, go. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. I have a car outside. That car does not know me. It's not my life. My life is not inside that car. Anyone that grabs my key can drive that car home. If they drive it home now, will I fall down the floor and be like, my life. Those of you that brought cars to church, you parked your cars outside. Now you're inside church. Did you park your life outside? Talk to me now. How about your designer clothes and shoes that you left at home? Why didn't you wear them when you were coming? When a man begins to wear two wristwatches, I know one is a smart watch to check heartbeat and to monitor the level of your exercise. The other one is the normal one. But can I ask, does the smart watch also tell the time? If it does, why do you need two? Because you want to show off your Rolex and then the smart watch. Let's even assume you can wear two. But when you begin to wear three or four wristwatches, you know that something is happening. Why didn't you wear all the shoes that you have at home to church today? Together. If you wore all your clothes, shall we not contact Dr. Adedeji to link us with UCH, Professor Lambo Unit? Imagine what I'm wearing this morning. I put agbada on it, and I put shirt, and I put blazer. Because I want to show the church. Don't think because I wear native most times. I have suto. Four. In fact, one of them is tuxedo. And I wear the four. Some people will not come to this church again. Father, we thank you for your word today. Please breathe on your word in our hearts. We want to live like Christ. Help us to be godly. Help us as we train ourselves unto godliness to find grace to help us in the hour of need. In the midst of a corrupt world, please help us to keep our focus on Jesus. May our lives reflect your glory. May our lives reflect your humility. Even when the blessings begin to manifest, may we keep our heads humble before you, O God, so that you may exalt us again in due time. Let your name alone be glorified in our lives. Let us be true ambassadors of your kingdom in the name of Jesus. We are the salt of the earth Use us to preserve this world from corruption. Use us in our little corners. Use us in our offices. Use us in our schools. Use us on our streets. Use us in our neighborhoods as ambassadors of your preservation and of your kingdom. And until we come back home to meet you, help us to continue to walk the narrow path when it is convenient and when it is not, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Have you been blessed today?